while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
And yes, good morning. It's still morning. Checking the clock. Good morning, everyone. It's a great blessing and honor to be with you today and to hear the wonderful things that are happening, you know, at Pollard's Hill Baptist Church. I'm here with my wife, Abby. She's my better half, my more beautiful half. And we're here also with some wonderful friends that we've known for many years. When we got married, we went over to California for our honeymoon, and we were hosted by a wonderful friend who has become a professor in trauma therapy counseling. I don't know what else to call her. She's a vice chancellor as well, our dear sister, and she's just a real blessing. Dr. Merino here with us, and with her daughter Gabrielle. Can we give them a PhDC welcome? And I want to thank Pastor Deji and the leaders of this wonderful church, and our sisters, and all you singers and musicians, and all of you that bless this place with your gifts and your counseling, and the media team, the radio team, every one of you. You are the life that makes up the church. You are the community that makes up the church. And I do have a word, because you have the theme, Speak, Lord, We Are Listening. And so we're going to go in that theme. I'm very much in line with the Bible readings that you've read already, as well as the story we heard from our sister Anu, which I'm going to allude to, in understanding how God deals with us. So this is also for the cognitive mind. It's also for the spiritual, more spiritual, prophetic types of us. I'm going to create a balance where we're pragmatic and prophetic. At the same time, we're prayerful and we are practical, so that everybody has something to take away from this. The title of this short sermonette, as I will call it, I'll try to keep to my time of a few minutes I've been given. I'm going to give us a scripture for us to read, and it's from the book of the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. And it says something very interesting, and I think they will have it on the screen. It says, don't worry about anything. Hallelujah. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Someone say what? Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Hallelujah. Thank Him for all that He has done. What do we say about God? Because we live in a very cognitive world where sometimes He seems elusive, sometimes He seems real. You hear some people's stories and you think, is it the same God? You know, sometimes we believe more in Thanos and the MCU, Iron Man, than we believe in God. But I want us to understand something, and that's the reason why I'm titling this short sermonette, The Coincidence of Prayer. Someone say coincidence. So the coincidence of prayer, and I'm saying this, preaching or teaching this from almost the skeptic point of view than the preacher's point of view. And the word coincidence, and I'm just going to read it, it says a striking occurrence of two or more events at one time, apparently by mere chance. The striking concurrence of two or more events at one time, apparently by mere chance. So, one of the archbishops of this nation, Bishop Temple, many years ago, said, when you pray, coincidences happen. When you stop praying, they stop. And so from a scientific point of view, empirical point of view, you prove a scientific theory by experiments. Are you with me? You try by experimentation to see if when we do A, B, and C, does D happen? Is D a variable? Is it a mere coincidence? Or is it a theory that is no longer a hypothesis? And so the principle of what I'm saying is this. I want to say to you that there is a theory, and I have experienced this theory, that the more I pray about things, the more coincidences happen. Are you with me? The more coincidences happen when I pray. When I stop praying, they stop. I'm just going to just mention one or two coincidences in the scriptures, and then I'm going to talk about real life. But if you go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we read the story of a lady called Anna who was experiencing some degree of emotional family crisis. In those days, having a child was everything. In those days, thousands of years ago, women did not have the same rights as men. And so when you married, part of your worthiness or value was the ability to produce children. And in some cultures, if you didn't produce a male child, then you were considered less value than somebody who produced a male child. Now, all of these things were happening in the life of this woman because she was married to a man who loved her, but she did not have any children. And so she went to the temple of God in anguish because her the other wife of the man that she was married to was a provocation for her. And so we read in this verse, and I'm not going to read everything because I want to keep to time. She was in bitterness of soul. Let me read from verse 9. So Anna rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting at the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in what? Anguish. And then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaiden and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened. Someone say, and it happened. That as she continued to pray before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth, or he noticed her. That's the coincidence. Are you with me? So just like Pastor Deji would sit at the back or wherever he goes and is in the service, he might notice or not notice some things. Are you following me? But it so happened that as she was praying this prayer, the vicar or the priest noticed her. And then she was speaking in her heart. She was in anguish. And there was something about the way she was praying that obviously was kind of animated. And that made him think that she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Anna answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your handmaiden a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken unto now. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked him. That's how she received the blessing. Are you with me? Coincidence. She goes at the time that the priest was there. Are you following me? And as she happened to be praying, he happened to notice her and provoked a response. And he, as the office, so many times we sometimes get distracted with the person in the office. The office is the office. Are you with me? The anointing is on the office, not necessarily the person. Oh my God, are you with me? That's why you need to pray for the President of the United States or Prime Minister, whoever is in office. Because the Bible says pray for those in office, whether they are wicked or they are righteous. Because the office needs prayer. Oh my God, are you following me? That's a side comment. Anyway, hallelujah. So she received her blessing from that office. And that was the coincidence. Let me give you another coincidence of prayer. In Acts chapter 12, if you go with me to Acts chapter 12, you see something interesting happening. And this is history written by the Holy Spirit about what was happening in the early church. And at about that time, from verse 1, the Bible says that Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. And then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, it was the festival. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer. Someone say constant prayer. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So the church was praying. He was put in a maximum prison. He was chained. You know the way they was wearing a yellow jacket? No, he wasn't wearing a yellow jacket. But he was chained down. And he was in between all this maximum security facility. And it was not just one squad of soldiers, it was four, because he was an important person. Are you with me? But the church was praying for him. Now, let me just mention something very, very quickly. That the Bible says that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways above our ways. So are his thoughts above our thoughts. What you will notice is that the way we pray and the way answers come cannot be scripted. God is not Amazon. God is amazing. Are you with me? Someone said God is not Amazon. God is amazing. So you put in your request, But you cannot press deliver by tomorrow. Oh my God, are you with me? You have to leave it to the Amazon of God, who is amazing, to determine when he answers. We heard from Anu's story that they received all these prophecies, all these prayers in 2015. Her story was long, you know, so there are many chapters to her story. But the part that I just want to make reference to at this point in time was in 2015, when they were receiving all these prophecies, all these words that something was coming or whatever words. And so that looked like it was going to be immediate. But 7 years later is when the answer came. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Look at your neighbor and say, you can put in the request, but delivery is up to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, there are times when God works instantly, and there are times when God doesn't seem to be doing anything. And let me just add this into the mix, because it is also very important. At the beginning of this verse, we heard that James was killed, but Peter was put in prison. Hello, are you with me?
Yes.
And then look at what happens briefly afterwards. And says, now behold, verse 7, an angel of the Lord stood by him. Hallelujah. There are no locked doors or no security forces that can stand against God. So an angel stood by him, verse 7, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains, someone say, his chains fell off. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did, and he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they went past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them on its own accord. Hallelujah. It became an automatic gate. God's security, God's technology is amazing, isn't it? It opened on its own accord, and they went out and down one street, and immediately the angel departed. And Peter came to himself and said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. Someone say, praise God. So the church prayed, and coincidentally, an angel shows up. Are you with me? The coincidence of prayer and signs, things happening. I remember 1995 into 96. My wife was pregnant with a 1994. My wife was pregnant in 1995, and we had our first child. He's now 27. 27 is going to be 28 next year, right? So he was born, he's 27 now. And she turns to me and she says to me, because we were living in a council flat in Islington. And she turns to me, I don't know why this became my responsibility, but she turns to me and she says to me, I'm not bringing up our son in this flat. Find me a house. Not exactly those words, but that's the way I heard it. So she would say, she said something else, but what I heard was, we need to move. Are you with me? And so I began to pray, because I just started working for the church then, and my stipend. Those who understand what the stipend means. It's not even a salary. It's something you receive just as like we have to give you something. Okay. So I looked at my bank account, and there was no way I could answer this. So I began to pray. And God said to me, I kid you not, gentlemen, God said to me, start looking. So I went back to my wife and I said, God said we should start looking. And she said, then she turns to me and says, where is the money? And I said, God said we should start looking. And so we began to look and pray. Are you with me? Yeah. About a month after we began to pray and look for a place, because she began to do research where the schools were, whatever. In my head, I'm thinking, goodness me. You know, but coincidentally, in 1996, I can never forget, you know, because this whole thing started in 1996. I looked at my bank, because the internet was not functional then. And so if you need to check your account, you need to go to a hole in the wall, how many of us remember those print? Yes, so it'll give you a short print of your account. Are you with me? There was only like online banking. You had to go into the bank to get a print out. Does anybody remember that? Or they post it to you after many weeks. That was life then, before the internet. Hallelujah. So I went in and I withdrew some money, and then the print out said 1,500 was, and I never had that kind of money in my account before. 1,500. Where did that come from? So in my head, I'm thinking, this woman has asked somebody to give us money. She told me. So I got home and I said, who did you ask to give us money? And she said, no. And I said, 1,500 has come into my account. And she said, nothing to do with me. So I called the bank and they said, we'll check it and get back to you. That was such life in those days. Now you could just go on the internet. Are you with me? But everything was slower. Are you with me? And thank God it was slower because of the story I'm about to tell you. Because while they were checking what was going on, another 1,500 came into my account the following month. And so I called them again and say, this money, and then they said to me that it was from a particular source, but the name didn't make any sense. I said, I don't understand that. So they said they will check again. While they were checking, another 1,500 came in. So in 3 months, we received three sets of 1,000, making 4,000, and I didn't touch the money. And then, coincidentally, my wife had found a place, and we went to check it, and we liked it. And we were on a scheme. What was the scheme called? Shared ownership. So we had to come up with 5,000, and the other company will come up with 5,000. We'll share the property, and I'll pay the rest on the mortgage. Does that make sense to you guys? Shared ownership. Anyway, that was so. The Holy Spirit then said to me, "That is your deposit." So we scraped around another 500 and gave it to the lawyer. After we gave it to the lawyer, the bank now called me. And they now said the money was a mistake. And they said, I have to return what? The money. So I said, wait, I'm coming, I'll call you back. So I went to God. This is just my story. As I went to God, I said, God, what do I do? Because I see jail in front of me right now. Because there's no way I can, whatever. So the Lord said, you know, tell them what you've done with the money and tell them how much you can pay. I said, God, you don't live down here. this is where I talk. And I just talk to God like this. You don't live down here. You know, I don't want to. And the Holy Spirit responded. He said, tell them what you can pay. And so the following day, I don't know whether she said she was going to call me. I don't remember now. But I remember we're speaking on the phone, and she says, Dr. Lloyd, what do we do? And I said, I've spent the money. She said, you what? I said, I've spent it. I said, however, I can give you £70 a month back. She paused on the phone, and she said, let me go and speak to my supervisor and come back to you. Maybe she was gone for a minute, but it seemed like she was gone for an hour. Because it was a very long, it seemed very long to me. And then she comes back and says to me that my supervisor says it's fine, that I will send you a standing order form in the post, and you can set up that amount to pay back the money. And that was how I got, or we got, because I was the one doing the prayer, that's how we got an interest-free loan by which... Now, why do I share? I share that story to just say that money has not come into my account ever since. But it was around the time when we were praying and looking for a property that the funds came in. The coincidence of what? Prayer. So when that scripture says pray about what? Everything. What it's actually saying is increase the incidence of signs in your life. Are you with me? Gideon heard from God. He went and put the sign out, the fleece out, twice, just to be sure he was hearing God, and God responded with very what clear signs. Are you following me? And the spirit of what I'm saying is that God is a loving God, but I kind of get a bit frustrated with God because he kind of plays hide and seek. He never comes out and says, here I am, God. This is me. Because that would make it so very easy, isn't it? Just show yourself. But what happens is that as you are praying that, God, I need a job. I need, coincidentally, somebody sends you an email. You bump into a friend on Platform One and London Bridge. Coincidentally. And the person says, oh, I'm working here. Oh, yeah, there's some space. Oh, they would like a person like you. Give me your details. And that's how you get in. Because you are praying. Hallelujah. So can you look at two people and be a Pentecostal for a moment and say, start praying. Because when you pray, coincidences will what? Happen. As you engage with God on any matter, it could be a wayward son. It could be, I don't want to share my own. I can keep you here all day with all kinds of stories. But I can remember us praying for our, we went to a minister, and we were sharing with the minister. We were just having a wonderful time. It's someone who lives in the Middle East. It's ministers amongst the persecuted church. And as we were praying, the Holy Spirit just led us. It's very prophetic, like my wife. We began to pray for my son. Right? I remember. We began to pray for my son, and we began to pray against the spirit of death and attack. So anyway, we're just praying. Two or three days later, our son disappears. And we can't find him. He doesn't respond to his phone calls. He doesn't respond to any text. He was in uni, was in Coventry, I think, then. And we're thinking, well, did we go to Coventry or whatever? You know, on day four, I call my son and I get hold of him. His voice is not normal. I said, where are you? And he said he was attacked. I said, why didn't you want to come home? He said, because I didn't want to alarm you and mom. I said, please just come home. We've been praying for you. And so he comes home, and when my son walks through the door, his jaw is double the size. Somebody had beat, four boys had beaten him up because of a transaction that he was doing with them that went bad. And we finally found out the amount. In fact, they beat you up because of this. But the spirit of what I'm saying is this. In this day and age of gun and knife crime, this was many years ago. And it was, I think, around the time when a lot of our young people were being knifed every day on and were just front page news. But somehow, I believe our prayers intercepted the spirit of death. Are you with me? Because we were praying very, very strongly for him, even before he disappeared. And the spirit of what I'm saying is this, that when you pray, coincidences happen. Open your Bible with me to Daniel chapter 9. This is another scripture. Daniel chapter 9, and I will close on this. Daniel chapter 9, and Daniel was praying, and while he was praying, the Bible says that he was praying and setting his face in verse 3 before God to pray and fast, and was praying for the nation, praying for Israel because he was in exile there. And the Bible says, and I also want to read a scripture for you just to help somebody here. It says in verse 20, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord for the holy mountain of my God. He was talking about Israel. While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the evening offering. Are you with me? Now, then he began to inform me and talk with me about stuff. Now, while he was praying, hallelujah, the angel traveled through space and time. And the Bible says he had to travel swiftly. So, just imagine Superman flying. Are you with me? These are beings that are beyond, I'm sure by the time we get to heaven or understand some of the spiritual things, you know, some of the MCU characters will fade into significance. Because this being moved from a realm of the invisible into the natural realm as a result of Daniel's prayer. Are you with me? Now, what I'm saying is this, that when we pray, angels move. When we pray, things move. Even Jesus said, speak to this mountain. And so, some people teach wrongly that you can decide when and how things move. No, I believe that we are taught by Scripture rightly that we pray to God. And then God responds to the situation at a time and in a way that suits him. There are three things that you need to do or need to have when you pray. Number one, pray from your heart. Don't be religious. Oh Lord, my God, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, my Lord, my soul to take. If I should die, I don't pray those kind of prayers. What I pray is, God, this wife you gave me, she's... Are you with me? God, why are my children like this? Am I a real minister? What's going on? What kind of church is this? No, I love David, because David teaches me how to talk to God anyhow. It's real. Look at your neighbor, say, be real. No, tap your neighbor, say, God likes reality TV. God is not interested in religious people. He wants you to speak from the heart. The Bible says he will give you the desires of your heart. We read that in the passage we read. Are you with me? So speak from your heart. Say it as it is. Amen. Amen. Even when you're speaking from your heart, allow the scriptures of the Bible, the little Bible or the much Bible you know, translate it or transliterate it into your own lingua. Are you with me? So take David's words, take the scriptures, take the stories. I say things like, God, if you know, you delivered the Israelites from the Red Sea. Deliver me, because this is my Red Sea. Are you with me? Be desperate, sing and pray from your heart. Let your heart sing prayer to God. Amen. So pray from the heart, pray from the scriptures. And the other one I need you to, the third quality you need to do is you need to have spunk. Someone says spunk. Spunk means tenacity. It means persistence. It needs to have spine. So if I pray today and nothing happens, the Bible, Jesus Christ said, men always ought to pray and not what? Faint. Don't faint. Don't say, God didn't answer me yesterday. The prophet prayed first time, nothing happened. Second time, nothing happened. Third, fourth, fifth. Someone said, give up. This thing is not working. But on the seventh occasion, God came through. Hallelujah. The Hebrews, they talk about the number seven as the number of completion. And so that story of Elijah may not necessarily mean that he prayed seven times, even though that's what was written. It means that he prayed to a place of completion. Because every prayer has a saturation point. You pray into your victory. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed first time. The guys were sleeping. Tried to get them up. Came second time. Just after the second time, he left them. The third time was when he prayed through. The angel came, strengthened him, and got him ready for the cross. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you today with this principle of the coincidence of prayer. Hallelujah. Can you put that scripture up back up? Philippians 4, 6 through to 7. Stop worrying. Because worry is an exercise that involves only you or human beings. Hallelujah. Prayer connects with heaven. So when you move from worry to prayer, you are involving the divine being of God. Hallelujah. So commit everything to God. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. God will respond with a yes, a no, or a not yet. And even when he is responding with a no as an answer, it means he has a better yes. Hallelujah. And so I like the story of Anu because it's a real story of the struggle they had. And I know that she could not go into the depths of months and years and weeks of trials. But it just tells you that God comes through in the end. Amen. Hallelujah. Tap your neighbor and say, your story will end well.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.